Because of an amendment to Florida's constitution, the state's minimum wage is recalculated each year to adjust for inflation based on the Federal Consumer Price Index. Right now, it's $7.79 an hour. That's above the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, but still well below some areas. In Washington State, for instance, the minimum wage is $9.19 an hour. Still, Florida's law can be much more lucrative than Georgia's, where employees who don't fall under the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act can earn as little as $5.15 an hour. Still, Senator Bullard says living on minimum wage has been harder than he thought.
The reality is that the average minimum wage worker in Miami-Dade County is living, in terms of available income, out once they've figured out their housing situation and paying those bills, they're only living on about $52.67 a week.
But the senator did keep some luxuries, like his house and his cell phone, during his week-long experiment. Even if he hadn't, activists say the senator's experience still pales in comparison to what a person who actually has to survive on so little money goes through. Someone like Sylvia Kitchen.
I'm a 40-year-old single parent of a 5-year-old daughter. Her name is Brianna Kitchen. She'll be going to Bond Elementary School in August. And me and her is... Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Kitchen and her daughter live in a small but neatly kept apartment. The walls are plastered with artwork Brianna did at the Head Start program she attends, as well as family photographs and a chart detailing what bills Kitchen has to pay this month and how much she has left to spend.
Since I've been on my own, that's how I do my budget. And everything, whatever I have to do for the month, I make a list of all my events and I write a list of all my bills. So I keep tabs of everything that I have to do for that month and all the bills that I have to pay. If we don't have to buy it, we don't buy it. We buy what we need and not what we want.
Right now, Kitchen's income is about $700 a month. $350 will go to rent, and this month $143 will go to her electric bill. Though in the winter, Kitchen says her family's electric bill can top $250. She says that's because the heater in her apartment doesn't work, so she has to depend on space heaters to keep warm. Besides public assistance, Kitchen's income comes mostly from the daycare she runs out of her home, but she has only one client who comes just a few times a week, so she's always searching for other income streams.
I was a manager at a convenience store. I worked at FAMU Dining Service. I worked up there. I worked at Wendy's. So I did a whole lot of jobs. I do not discriminate. I will work anywhere that I can.
But even if Kitchen gets a full-time job working for minimum wage, her income could still put her below the national poverty line. That's the reason Bullard says he's throwing his weight behind a bill in Congress to increase the national minimum wage and considering a similar bill in Florida. One bill that's under consideration in Congress is authored by 9th District Congressman Alan Grayson.
We're expecting people to somehow survive without having enough money to survive even though they work full time.
Grayson's bill would increase minimum wage to about $10.50 an hour, which he says would pull millions of people nationally above the poverty line. But that can be a double-edged sword. Tim Center is the executive director of Tallahassee's Capital Area Community Action Agency. The group provides safety net services for low-income individuals. It also offers a class called Getting Ahead, which Sylvia Kitchen is taking. She says she gets a $25 Walmart gift card every time she goes, something she's been saving to pay for her daughter's clothes and supplies when she starts kindergarten this fall. But Center says his group can only help those who make less than 125% of poverty.
But if you make a dollar more than 125% of poverty, that dollar probably doesn't make a big difference to you, but it keeps you from being able to get our services. And so that's always an issue regarding the availability of services based on how much you make income-wise, because it misses the point of what the true need is.
According to Center's estimates, a person would need to make more than $25,000 a year to alleviate the need for public assistance programs. Still, many members of the business community have concerns when it comes to increasing minimum wage. Bill Hurley, executive director of Florida's chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, says an increase has the potential to hurt business.
That money is going to come from somewhere. It's either going to come from higher prices for that business's customers, or it's going to come from, if not laying off employees, then a reduction in hours until, before you know it, yes, there's an equivalent of a job loss there.
Meanwhile, those who support an increase in minimum wage, like the AFL-CIO, disagree. Rich Timblin is the Florida AFL-CIO spokesman.
This isn't just about caring about people. It's about economic fundamentals. If you have a growing segment of the workforce that does not have any type of expendable income, they do not have money to spend. They do not have money to be full participants in the economic system. The economy suffers.
Timblin says increasing the minimum wage would increase the amount of money people are spending, which he says is good for business and would eventually grow jobs. And Sylvia Kitchen says she'd like to see an increase too. She's not worried about the possibility that earning more money could mean she'd get fewer services. She says she just wants a few dollars to call her own.
I don't think no people care about them services. I think they would rather have more money in their pockets.
Both Bullard and Grayson say they recognize their push to get a minimum wage increase passed is filled with roadblocks. But they say they're happy just to see a growing conversation on the subject. For WFSU News, I'm Regan McCarthy.